Welcome to the KSL Real Estate Show. Hear updates on the national and local Utah real estate markets. We cover residential and commercial properties. Plus, get inspiring ideas to make your house a home from our sponsor, Osmond Designs. Here's Heather Osmond and Jeff Kaplan on KSL News Radio.
Welcome to the Real Estate Show. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jeff Kaplan. I'm here with Heather Osmond from Osmond Designs. Her stores are in Lehi and Orem.
Absolutely. So happy to be on this show with you again, Jeff. We love having the king of radio here at KSL as my co-host here on the Real Estate Show. Thank you for joining us, KSL friends. It's going to be a great show. I've been looking forward to having our guest on, you know, probably for weeks. He's a regular. Jaron Davis has been on the show before. And Jaron, let me just brag about him for a minute. He's the executive officer of the Salt Lake Home Builders Association. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
So good to see you. So on this show, we get to talk about anything and everything real estate related. Jaron, and you're kind of the resident expert, right?
Can I start out by being jealous of Jeff's voice?
I know, right?
Yeah, dude.
It's nice to meet you.
Yeah. I'm like, well, no wonder that guy's on radio.
4 hours of live every single day. You need to check out his show, Jaron. It's amazing.
That's a voice from God right there.
So, Jaron, let's start off by just introducing you and what you do and how you ended up getting into this organization.
Thank you very much. I followed my father in real estate. He was a broker. I was just out of college, so I've been in real estate my entire professional career. And that involved sales, brokerage, management, corporate, and land development. In about 2014, a dear friend of mine who's a friend of yours, Ross Holiday, twisted my arm. He played football for BYU, so he's a good twister, and talked me into going to work for the Home Builders Association because he felt that we could collaborate better with the realtor family if I was involved with the Home Builder Association. So it's Ross Holiday that brought that about. But our mission has been to advocate together because we have similar ideals in preserving property rights and increasing the opportunity of home ownership.
Well, we're sure lucky and blessed to have you, you know, leading this organization. You do such an amazing job.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about the Home Builders Association in Salt Lake City. What does it do? You know, let's describe that for our listeners today.
In 1942, a group of builders got together and felt that they had a greater voice if they could advocate together. And they felt that in that advocacy, they could improve our communities by letting different local municipals be engaged in understanding how different land use decisions, codes, regulations, et cetera, impacted real estate, specifically new construction of homes. And so they started that quest back then. And then, as you know, in 1946, Salt Lake had the first parade of homes in the country.
Incredible.
So, yeah, we're often known for that. But really, our mission and our purpose is to advocate for housing in the Salt Lake Valley. And the reason I'm that specific is we have chapters across the state. And then we have a state organization that advocates at the legislature. And we have a national association that advocates at Congress.
Absolutely. So you go up on the Capitol and you work with lobbyists and you get to advocate for all of the construction and what's going on with development in the state of Utah. But you also get to work and make sure that the building permits are reasonable and be an advocate and a representative for all of the builders across the state of Utah.
Yeah. And let's step back a little bit, Heather. There's nothing more important to a free society than the opportunity to own your own home. We know it's not for everyone, but we want the opportunity to be there should somebody desire. And a society that has people that own their own homes is a society that is protecting their freedom because they have their own dwelling, their own kingdom, their own place that they can actually go and reside and find peace, whatever you want to describe that as. But it's a vehicle that carries a lot of pride. If you own a home, you're more active in your community, more active in your church, higher educated, there's lower crime. There's a lot of things associated with that. But it's that vehicle that allows somebody to move, should they be a little less fortunate, from a time of maybe limited resources to a place of having resources that can be passed along because you're building your equity in your home. And that oftentimes is something that families can pass on. And so over time, that builds a safe foundation of financial security. So a home is a very critical component of any healthy society or community. So that's what we're advocating for. We're actually here for those people who are interested in owning a home.
So, Jaron, affordable housing is a hot topic here in Utah. How is Salt Lake and the construction industry helping to resolve that?
Yeah, Heather, on the good side, and we like to use attainable because we don't want to suggest by any of the acronyms that there's something wrong with an individual in being able to reach that dream. But the positive side of that is we wouldn't have a problem with attaining housing if we weren't a good community to live in. So because Utah has such good values in family, education, work, the diversity, the outdoor recreation, because of those things and people wanting to live here with a diverse economy now that we've created, particularly since the Olympics, when the world kind of had the light shining on us and said, hey, geez, look at that place. I thought Salt Lake was Utah Lake. I mean, Great Salt Lake in a desert.
Well, Jaron, you know, I'm co-hosting this show, but really I'm listening because I have family members younger who want to become homeowners. I don't know what to tell them because it doesn't matter what age you are. If you're 80 years old, if you're 22 years old, you've never seen a real estate market like the one we're having right now in Utah. It's beguiling, it's confusing, and I'm listening now to make sense of what to do and what to tell those young family members.
Yeah, well, and Jeff, breaking that in two parts, I didn't want to avoid the conversation, the difficult conversation that we can't attain the housing right now. But I want to suggest that there's a positive side to that because we have that influx of people. But now let's move to what you're asking. If I'm a baby boomer, which I am, you can't tell on the radar because I have a voice that's second to Jeff's.
You're like 29.
Fellow baby boomer.
Yeah. But when we were buying homes, the question was, will we be able to afford them? The question today is the same. The difference is if you put those in the same time period, it's twice as hard today to buy a house in Salt Lake than it was during my time. So 200% increase in losing that attainability issue. We had that crisis when the government, for good purposes, trying to avoid inflation, increased interest rates. So we have a price problem, and then we have interest rates increase, which even pushes further down on those that can afford a home. We're at 21%, Jeff, of the number of people that can afford the median priced home, and it should be at 50. It's been at 80. So 80 was a glorious time. 50 is a good time. 20 is a disaster. And so what we're doing is we're out pushing on all the different levels that create that inaffordability: land use, labor costs, financing, code and regulation. And we can talk about any one of those specifically because each one of them has a different category where we could come in and do something about it. But the builders are doing everything they can. So it's not like we have this outrageous profit center and that's part of the problem. Frankly, the cost of the transaction has increased such that the builder's profitability is actually lower. And so we need to address the components in that housing. Go ahead. Do you have a question?
I'm wondering, there's so many moving parts here. The kind of housing, the price of the housing, tax rates, communities' willingness to use land for more density. There are so many things that have to be addressed to get above that 21% you're talking about.
And it starts with us having an open conversation where we're not pushing against the people that are defined appropriately so as not in my backyard. And I actually can see the fear that is involved with the people in the not in my backyard mentality, because if you look at our construction over the last time period, one may think you've built a lot of attached housing in townhomes, apartments, and things like that. But what happened is because the land use ordinances didn't accommodate the type of housing that we could build that would be attainable, that forced the builder to go to that location where they could meet the price range by building a different product type, which is an attached unit, a townhome, a row house, and then the apartments. So we can talk about those, but you can see why there was a push against the favorable position for the Not My Backyard people.
Absolutely. You're listening to the KSL Real Estate Show. I'm Heather Osmond, owner of the Osmond Designs Furniture and Interior Design Stores. We have Jaron Davis, the executive officer of the Salt Lake Home Builders Association. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We're back with the KSL Real Estate Show, sponsored by Osmond Designs on KSL News Radio.
What a way to spend a Saturday morning. Welcome to the Real Estate Show. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jeff Kaplan. Heather Osmond is here from Osmond Designs. Her stores are in Lehigh and Orem.
Thank you so much for that great intro, Jeff. We love talking everything and anything real estate related, not only residential, but also commercial in this incredible economy. You know, the word is out for investors. I am a born and raised Utah girl, and not only own my own homes, we owned 33 homes at one point, which was a little crazy. I know. And I'm still sane, at least a little bit. We also own shopping centers. We owned assisted livings. We've done all of that. We've redeveloped, we've rezoned all of those things. Attainable housing for my kids is probably on the forefront right now of just helping them figure out ways to get into the market.
Yeah. Heather, you can't save money fast enough to buy a house because the cost had gone up so quickly. So anyone that said, I want to buy a home and started saving money for the down payment, whatever, you were in arrears from the very beginning. And so a lot of the opportunity that's presented itself for some of the, let's say millennials or Gen Z, came because of familial relationships, whether the parents contributed or something like that. And so that has been an only saving grace. And the question there is that right? And our argument is that it isn't. And Jeff suggested, you know, the conversation about Not My Backyard. There's a fundamental that we need to understand. As an owner of real property, we have property rights. If we go back before zoning became something that was important, we'd find ourselves in New York City when they started building skyscrapers, and a skyscraper went out and shaded the property, the adjoining property. And so the landowner says, well, that's not fair. You built something so tall that now I'm in the shade and you've taken away my sunshine. And so zoning came into play as it related to neighbors so that they could get along. What has become now is a tool that strips people of their property rights. So if you think for a minute, Jeff, offline, you suggested that you live next to a wonderful pasture that has critters in it.
Someday it could become something else.
Yes.
I mean, everybody's cognizant. You see a piece of farmland anywhere in Utah, you think, how many units could that hold? It's the first question that comes to mind.
So let's add two components to that discussion. One is the property rights of the individual that has the cow in the pasture.
Right.
Your property right. And then the issue that we have in relation to attainable housing. The fundamental principle that we need to secure is the property right. So let's say that that farmer kept that parcel of ground in an estate to bless his family. And Jeff lives next door and doesn't want anything to be developed that is approved in the zoning regulations because it would interfere with the enjoyment that he's had. But what his desired outcome achieves is stripping that family of their right in that property, which they've spent some time in developing.
But this also, this could also apply to the strip mall that goes into a neighborhood or any circumstance where there's a piece of land and it's going to be developed.
Jeff, let's stay on that theme. If I have taken my resources to own a piece of property for its potential, and that potential is taken from me because the loudest voice in the community overcame what my rights were, that's something that we'll stand up against. So that's the first tier. The second tier on that is that we need city planners that understand that for us to be able to attain housing, we've got to allow the current development that the market is demanding, not have as an ideal something that is the city fathers or the not in my backyard people voting people into city council, et cetera. An example would be, and excuse me, it was a previous mayor, so Karen Lang won't get mad at me. In West Valley City, they wanted to allow only executive housing in their community.
What does that mean?
Larger lots, brick exterior, larger homes, features on the home that would allow for it to appear to be more expensive housing or executive type housing.
Got it.
What we suggest is that the market demand is where we come in and we say, what does the market want? And for the city to interfere with that is where we meet the unfortune of stressing affordability.
I think so. So, Jeff, back to there's a cow in the pasture next to your home.
Love the cows.
Gotta love the cows when you're living there. But at some point, that farmer or his kids may want to sell that land. And, you know, whoever does own that property at the time will go to the city. They'll figure out what the best use for the land is. Maybe it's not growing corn or whatever they have been doing previously. And maybe it is developing. So I feel like people are always so generous with other people's money and they're happy to say, well, that should be a park. It should be soccer field. It should be, you know, whatever that may be. But oftentimes it's not up to you unless you go and buy that neighbor's property, Jeff, then you could own and control and do that. But, you know, as citizens and representatives here of Utah, our neighbors, you know, their properties, it is valuable to us. And we do have the opportunity to go to those city council meetings and have our voices be heard. My experience is oftentimes that doesn't really make too much of a difference. It's, you know, based on the zoning that's already in place. So being aware of where your property rights are, what you're purchasing next to is very, very important, not only in buying, but also in selling your own property.
Heather, think of this. Jeff is arguing against a use of land across the street.
No, I'm not arguing anything. They're nice neighbors.
We're brainstorming.
I'm gonna use Bob. So Bob is arguing against a land use. But what Bob fails to see is he's living in a home that cow once occupied. And so he's actually...
I hate that part.
Yeah. And so, you know what... Unfortunately, every house we have is on a place that used to be something else, which was, you know, either nature or a cat pasture.
So true. You're listening to the KSL Real Estate Show. We have Jaron Davis, Executive Officer of the Home Builders Association, and Jeff Kaplan with KSL on the show with us today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the KSL Real Estate Show. Hear updates on the national and local Utah real estate markets. We cover residential and commercial properties. Plus, get inspiring ideas to make your house a home from our sponsor, Osmond Designs. Here's Heather Osmond and Jeff Kaplan on KSL News Radio.
Welcome to the Real Estate Show. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jeff Kaplan. Heather Osmond is here from Osmond Designs with stores in Lehigh and Orem.
Absolutely, Jeff. Thank you so much for that great intro. I love doing this KSL Real Estate Show. We get to have the best and coolest guests on every single week. Today, I've been looking forward to having Jaron Davis. He's the Executive Officer of the Salt Lake Home Builders Association. And Jaron, I don't know very many people that are as involved in the day-to-day of what's going on in the real estate market than you are. So welcome to the show. We're happy to have you.
Thank you. That means a lot. It's funny when something sits in your heart with passion, you just kind of follow it, right?
You're doing a great job. It's a great time to be in Utah, be a homeowner as well as an investor. Jaron, previously, before the commercial break, we talked a little bit about, you know, being a first-time home buyer and how to get into the market. Let's pick that up.
Perfect. Heather, it's critical for us to understand that when we interviewed in a very expensive interview, the National Association of Realtors spent $1,500,000 on this survey because they wanted to get a sense of where our current consumer is. The millennial and the Gen Z all want to own their own home. That was the question. Do these people want to own a home? Because they've been living with parents or some things that were unusual, and we can talk about the history that brought us up to that point. But the fact is that they want to. And we know the benefits of them owning a home. So I think it's incumbent on those older generations to help and assist in allowing that to be something that is meaningful. And let me put it this way. If a not-in-my-backyard person says, I don't want that in my area, I think that if they look at their family and see who of their family members can live in the community that they were raised in, can still afford to live there, and it might not be those children, their children, that's sad. I grew up in Holiday. It's an expensive part of Salt Lake, but I always wanted to live in Holiday. So if it got to a point where I couldn't afford it, then I'd hope that those older generations would do some things that would allow me at least that opportunity to get a ground start and then reach that dream at some point. And so we're actually talking about a real critical component of society, people having the right to own their own home should they choose to do so. So the builder, if we go back, Heather, this might be a little bit of a weird twist, but think of when the Great Recession hit. We're building as fast as we can. Home prices are going up. Money's easy to get. They'd taken the subprime loans and packaged them together, and investors are buying all kinds of portfolios of money, and boom, the Great Recession hits. We're building at that time 1,500,000 homes, and we go down to 343,000, an 80% decrease. Imagine owning a business that had an 80% decrease with no hope of change.
Well, the fail rate must have been just astronomical.
A lot of builders never came back. Those that survived had the war wounds. And so now go forward. You've got that emotion of that difficult time, and it's hard to catch up. It's hard to build back that army of contractors that can build the number of homes that we need. And so we fell short in Utah of over 56,000 units of homes for people to live in. So we had parents living with children. We had children living with parents. We had people doubling up in families. So think of those 56,000 plus family units are displaced in other homes. And so the home builders got back engaged, and we had 10 years of prosperity that actually ended about 2021, where we had a 26% increase of housing, and we got the number of short units down to 28,000. And then what hit?
COVID.
The beautiful pandemic. And then in the pandemic, we had the government come in and try to steal the inflation, pushing up interest rates. The pandemic brought us the supply chain issues. So we're limited on our supplies. The interest rates are high. We're in the pandemic. Fortunately, we became a essential service. So real estate construction was able to continue as an essential service. We social distance naturally. You don't see contractors holding hands in the home, right?
Thank goodness.
So we were granted that opportunity. But as we talk about attainability, just think of that business owner and what they've been through in the last couple of years and what we're dealing with in terms of coming out of this. So it's not only what we've talked about, but it's that pain that exists from those, once in a lifetime circumstances, the Great Recession and the pandemic. So we're dealing with some things that are very unusual, but we're fighting a really good fight. You've got our energy and our passion pushing towards this. And sometimes that feels like it pushes against society or the common man or the not in my backyard people, whatever, however you want to describe those. But there's a very genuine interest in allowing an opportunity for us to be able to reach that attainability so that we can have people own their own homes.
I love that. So new construction right now, Jaron, is, roaring again. There are homes going up anywhere and everywhere that there's space and land to do so. I feel like a lot more people are either building a new home or they're remodeling their existing home. People are being very creative about how to finance those two.
So, Heather, you bring up a really good point. Your observation's spot on. A typical new home sale compared to existing housing is about 10%. So every 10 homes, one home is new. Right now it's a third. It's unbelievable. It's a time in history that we've never seen. And the reason for that is that inventory isn't available in the existing housing. And so the only thing selling right now is a larger percentage is the new construction. But two, you have people staying in place. So let's go back to Jeff and I. If we're empty nesters,
right,
where is there a place for the baby boomers to live? Who's building that dwelling unit for us?
I'm not sure. I'm scared to look, quite frankly, because
yeah.
I know my home has value with all the appreciation we've had in the past few years. But where am I going?
Yeah. So
where am I going?
Let me put your hard at comfort, there's nowhere for you to go.
Oh, thanks, man.
You're stuck next to the cows.
But part of that, oddly enough, is this not in my backyard attitude. Yeah. The millennial and the baby boomer want the same thing, a smaller dwelling unit, smaller lot, no maintenance. And we're just not allowed to build that with the current land use decision. So the baby boomer stays put. That locks the ladder of housing. So the first home buyer has an attainability issue. The family that wants to move up into my home where I raised my family can't buy it because I'm not selling it because I have nowhere to go. And so remodeling is up because everyone's locked in place. It's the interest rates because, you know, we're now 6.5-7%. It's the cost. It's the tax because our appreciation went up so fast and so high. We had a 49% increase in 2 years. Went from $336,000 to $500,000.
Where? Is that Salt Lake?
Salt Lake.
Yeah.
But imagine that and then add interest rates on top of that.
Yeah.
So there's multiple answers, but one of the only answers that's the easiest default is to work on land use. We're in Salt Lake City. Let me do a shout out to Aaron Mendenhall and the city council in Salt Lake City.
Absolutely.
They're working really well on trying to address the units that would be available in the marketplace by suggesting simple things like you can build in Salt Lake City a secondary housing unit on your single family lot should you need. And all that is trying to accommodate the need, but that alone would be something that would be beneficial. They're called ADUs, ancillary dwelling units, a secondary home, because a lot of lots, maybe not a lot, but a number of lots can accommodate the two homes. Brigham Young, when they planned the city, it was designed so that you would have the farm in the back, you know, a personal farm. So why not allow for another dwelling unit to be in the backyard on the long, skinny lots?
They've done that, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Salt Lake City.
Well, yes, they're just in the process of completing it, but hats off to Aaron, and that'll then, Jeff, be incumbent on us to prove that concept. It'll be a little bit difficult because Salt Lake is built out, but to prove that concept, because then we can go to the other communities that have more raw land available and suggest to them that it's working.
You know, I live in Davis County. I understand it's the same story in Utah County right now. There are so many new neighborhoods and new roads going up the further west you can go. And I'm starting to wonder if they're going to put houses on stilts in the Great Salt Lake.
I want to see that one.
Jeff, they're trying that in Utah County.
Right. They actually try.
Yeah, right?
The benefit they have there is that algae bloom is so thick, the home just floats on it.
Can we say that on KSL?
I don't know.
So. We just did.
Yeah, you got to remember, I bleed red.
Let's go boxing gloves, yeah. Jaron. All right.
But Jeff, that's a really good point. But what we need to do as a part of that development is address that frustration. And what needs to happen is that we need to have better planning that allows for that transportation not to become a frustration. And it's the cart before the horse, but we need to be thinking like that, because if I can put in a infrastructure before it's needed and then take the housing out, if you've been to Phoenix and seen the 201 and the 202 and things like that, it was like a freeway to nowhere.
I vaguely recall, which I'm not going to ask about Phoenix right now. I'm worrying about Salt Lake City.
But Jeff, if we didn't have the frustration on the traffic, if we tried to address that beforehand, which is very difficult, I understand that, but just think of some of the things that would take those pressure points away from the frustration in seeing the new development, because we also really like the diversity and we like what that brings in terms of opportunity for our children if we're family people.
For sure. No, I think that's amazing. There are creative ways to accomplish your goals, whether it be build a new home, refinance your home, get a HELOC loan. Special thanks to Central Bank, who is the sponsor of this KSL Real Estate Show. They are trusted bankers and loyal friends, and they are, you know, on the forefront of coming up with creative ways for people to get loans, not only for new construction, but HELOC loans for remodeling. They do auto loans. They do a smart savings program for your kids. We love Central Bank. They've been in business for 130 years and they invest in our community. I know how hard they work. I would not be where I am today without the business loans that Central Banks has given to my business, Osmond Designs, there. So happy to have you join us on the KSL Real Estate Show today. We have Jaron Davis, the Executive Officer of the Salt Lake Home Builders Association. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We're back with the KSL Real Estate Show, sponsored by Osmond Designs on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Show. Thank you for listening this Saturday morning. I'm Jeff Kaplan, here with Heather Osmond from Osmond Designs. Her stores are in Lehigh and Orem.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It is the most wonderful time of the year. We have the pumpkin spice out. We have the apple cinnamon fragrances. And our goal is to help you love your home. Part of that is just making sure that you live in the right neighborhood, that you love your home, that it's right-sized. A lot of people are upsizing. A lot of people are downsizing. But just finding what's right for you in your specific time of life is more important than ever. We have Jaron Davis. He's the Executive Officer of the Home Builders Association back on the show with us. How's it going, Jaron?
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much. Heather, to kind of cap this off in terms of a favorable note, I think a lot of times in life we have a group that's defined as the silent majority that just kind of sits back and accepts. And when something rises to the occasion, they'll step in and engage. I would suggest to you that our housing attainability issue has reached that point where we have people that are willing to be engaged because they see the practical need in our society. Things have happened. You know, we've gone from an average square footage of homes of 2,500 to 2,200. And so, you know, there's movements that help accommodate that maybe are outside of that. But we have leaders, Vivek Ramaswamy in a news presentation suggested that land use was a conversation. That hasn't been something on the presidential debate stage before or wherever it was, I don't remember. But we have the governor involved, the lieutenant governor, we have city leaders. So there's a movement afoot that suggests we need to address this because our society, our local communities will fail if people can't afford their own home. People, you won't be able to employ people and bring them in, et cetera. But it has also brought to the forefront that those trailing generations to create a movement that's called Yes in My Backyard, which is diametrically blows to not in my backyard. And the thoughtful approach of the yes in my backyard people are that they understand the frustrations over here and are just saying, look, let's work together in making something that will be right down the middle where we can start to afford and we haven't infiltrated the comforts that you've found in your community. And by the way, we bring a lot to that in terms of the diversity, the youth, the families, the use of outdoor recreation, retail, entertainment. I mean, a lot of the things that we enjoy come directly as a result of the number of rooftops. And so those opportunities swell in the community as we have more people that are able to go out and patronize.
Absolutely. No, and the prison at the point of the mountain is a prime example of good. At one point that was in no man's land. And then as development grew around that, they actually decided that there's a better use for that land. They just moved that. They built a new facility, and that is going to be an incredible shopping center for the South Salt Lake area.
Heather, this will be a little bit funny, I hope, to the older generation, the greatest generation. My grandfather in the 50s developed in Holiday. The Salt Lake Tribune wrote an article, no one will ever live that far. And it was 50th South.
Wow.
We're on the top of the mountain now. And if Grandpa were alive today to see where this community's gone, it would just be astounding. But we need that. That's part of what we need to see and appreciate. So if we're pushing somebody out that wants the grand open spaces, those still exist. We live out in the West where there's a lot of grand open spaces. And granted, that might force somebody to make a decision that they wouldn't need to. But for somebody that wants to live in a big open space, those communities are available. And frankly, the pandemic taught us that a lot of us can work from home.
So true. And if you are in the office industry right now, you're hurting. So I think it just comes down to careful planning, not only on the local level, but also on the state level. Mm-hmm. And you are at the forefront, Jaron, Executive yeah. Officer of the Home Builders Association in Salt Lake City, leading the way for all of us.
We won't tire in our ambition, and we now have support that we hadn't seen in the past. We will together work through this crisis and make housing attainable.
You're listening to the KSL Real Estate Show. Thank you so much for joining us today. And happy Thanksgiving. See you next week.